You're tuned into the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
From the city of sunshine, it's Johnny Ace and...
Oh, wait a minute. I'm gutless? I'm a phony? I'm gutless? Let me ask you a question, Johnny. Funkman, did you personally face-to-face fire Vladimir Kozlov on Friday, huh? Did you fly yourself to Florida to tell Harry Smith, yes, his name is Harry, not David Hart Smith, that he was no longer needed here? Huh? Did you tell Chris Masters, somebody who over the past year has worked his ass off to get better, did you fire him face-to-face, or did you call him up and say, hey, kid, it's a budget thing. Best of luck in your future endeavors. Don't call me gutless. You have him do your dirty work.
Burn!
In Johnny Ace's defense, he told Melina to her face. However, we're not here to fire anybody. We're here to shoot off some fireworks leading up to the greatest event of the summer, WWE SummerSlam. But those pick-ems are going to be waiting until Sunday. Tonight, it's news, news, and more news with no Z's here at the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a few of the usual suspects here. First, the man that can make a musical note tap dance, Mr. Jim Williams.
Which bass did he tell it to? No, but seriously. speaking of Melina, though, it's not often that something I find on YouTube grabs me emotionally, being that I am somewhat sensitive, but the newest episode of Z True Long Island Story, the compilation of the best of Zach's dad with Cardboard Melina, set to Tell Me a Lie. I can't talk about it. It's too emotional. It's too much.
Oh, God.
I told me someone wasn't going to do this. It got me. It got me right there. Where's Miami? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I've got something for you. I've got a Tony for you.
Nice! I like that. Very good.
Well played.
And now for the co-host that actually got that joke, Mr. Jason Block.
I was the one who actually got that joke. And this week has been... Like, there's been a lot of little sort of WTF sort of news this week. I mean, really bizarre stuff. But this week just started off, as we heard earlier, with not a bang, but an explosion.
As I had said, this wasn't a shoot. This was a shoot out. Or maybe a shout out, depending on how you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. However, the only shooting I am going to do is to my DVR that decided it didn't want to record the evil boss Dr. Levesque's opening speech or half of the contract signing, which, of course, Jason heard the explosion all the way up in New York City.
I got the call, and there were more bleeps on my phone than...
Than a Scott Steiner promo.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. I sort of sent you the full episode of Raw with the promo and just and I just I'm sorry I just got to say this when you have three or four guys working at the amazing pace that they are from a promo perspective and taking all the doses of reality that were there, there were just like, how many times did my jaw go, he didn't say that, did he? At least four or five, I'm by my count. Jim?
And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, the way it was handled was just theater. It was bleeping theater at its finest. And there was truth in it, which is also good. Bringing in the real life thing, like you heard in the open of the, you know, Black Friday of 1 week ago. A great Johnny Ace impression as well, might I add. To Cena defending himself wholeheartedly. I mean, Cena was shooting right there, and the analogy is good. It was a shootout, and it was entertaining to watch. It was not your run-of-the-mill contract stat signing that we always see.
there you go.
Although Cena did try to steer it back towards that, but one of the things that I enjoyed about it is just the fact that they didn't have to dub in those whoa-os from the crowd.
They were sincere, man. Oh man!
Everything from what we heard in the intro. One that you had left out, which got me as well, is the evil boss Dr. Levesque looking at Punk and saying, "So how was your movie?"
Yes.
And Punk, not missing a beat, just shoots back. It went straight to DVD, just like yours.
I'm convinced there are certain people in any industry involved, any realm of the media industry, whether you're a wrestler, a broadcaster, what have you, that have that it factor. CM Punk has it. He's got one of the quickest wits I've seen in the business in a long time.
Since Chris Jericho, if you ask me.
That would be fair to say, yes.
But...
I'd pay for that Mike feud.
Oh, excuse me. Chris, okay, I know you're not listening, but I'm going to say it anyway. You're enjoying your Fozzie tour. Get your ass back here in the WWE and feud with Punk, thank you very much. Get your ass over here.
Please?
Yeah, please.
Definitely.
Now here's a beautiful touch here. There were two things that really stood out for me. Number one, the use of the Rock Facebook promo, which
yes.
was absolutely brilliant on two points. One, it illustrated CM Punk's point that Cena was a dick. And two, it kept the Cena-Rock feud going. So it served two purposes.
And I'll be honest. Let me butt in briefly here, and then I'll let you continue. It made me wonder to myself, it left a little question in my mind. Is there a remote possibility the Great One shows up in Los Angeles? I don't know that it's going to happen, but you never know. He could clear his schedule on a moment's notice.
You mean like the filming of G.I. Joe 2?
Well, you know,
he is scheduled for, by the way.
Hey, well, stranger things have happened.
And maybe with his luck, he'll bring friends.
Yeah, exactly.
But the second thing, which really was the biggest holy shit moment, didn't come from Punk, didn't come from Triple H, it came from John Cena. When he said something to the effect of, I can't convince any of, The Rock has his millions, you have your fans, and I can't convince them. And then he goes into this diatribe. Maybe if I improve my work rate, maybe if I improve my five moves of doom, maybe if I let my heel persona expand or something to that effect. When
Cena.
I heard that, I literally I spit my drink. I was like, what? Oh, my God.
When he admitted the five moves of doom, I think Matt Stryker could explain best how I felt.
Let's see. Where is that? Yeah, right here.
It's a mark out moment.
Yeah. Because it was basically him acknowledging the fact that, yeah. and then what was the word he said? Yeah, I'm babe, we'll put it to you this way. Maybe I just became Hulk Hogan and moved my hand from my ear to my face. Wow, right?
Tell us how you really feel. Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, the five moves of doom work great. I'm like, okay, either you've actually found the message boards, you've met too many smarks, or you read TV tropes. I haven't figured out which one yet.
Well, you're not going to even entertain the possibility you listen to this show? Well, yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Yeah.
While Cena does...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, while Cena does like to emulate me and brags about his Hyundai on his Twitter...
Win.
There you go.
Wow, that was beauty.
Don't mind if I do.
Yes.
Yes. Dip into the stash of win.
Yes.
Hey! Stupid computer.
There we go. That is, yes.
That'll be edited out later. No.
No.
Yes, it better. Well, never mind.
Hang on. Uh-oh.
It's about time, Mr. Henniger.
Uh-oh. You may feel free to hit me with several folding chairs. And she has them.
She, trust me, she does.
Oh, I could. I could.
I am sorry. I honestly thought I was on a Sunday show, and I just slipped my mind. Today's been sort of a hectic kind of day here at the Casa de Henniger.
All good.
All right. No. Okay. We'll just... I can hit him with something else.
Bam!
No. That's all right.
Last word you hear before you croak.
Yes. Yes. But it was just like the whole thing. But the beauty of it was it left more questions than answers. And that's the great beauty of it.
And
absolutely.
And if they've done that, that means they've done their job. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, since you just got here, we were just talking about the amazing, shootastic segment that was the contract signing at the end of Raw this week.
You put it properly on your Facebook page. You said, that was not a shoot, that was a shootout. And they were just, everything they did, they swung for the fences, and they put on a excellent production. And I thought it was amazing.
And it's got everybody excited. This is how you build for a pay-per-view. But then again, we have the awesomeness that is Punk. And I'm not a bandwagon jumper. I've been a fan of Punk since he came to the Fed. Cena stepped up his game. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is having fun with this, and I'm praying that Johnny Ace gets his lights punched out again.
What, you don't want to hear me cut a promo?
Not with that three-pack-a-day habit.
No.
He sounds, I mean, everyone else has said it, but he sounds like Super Dave Osborne.
Yes,
he does.
Yes.
I'm half expecting to see Mike Walden and Fuji Hakaido come out to help him.
Yes! You dropped their names. You win.
Oh,
my
wow. Holy bizarre reference, by the way.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
Those of you who got those references, gold star for you.
Yes, I
got them.
Wow.
That's my childhood, man.
Holy Dennis Miller. This is just insane.
Cha-cha, yeah.
I mean, it's
Shazam!
Yeah,
that's it.
Wow. Okay. but well, I mean, you know, what was really cool. We had a a very good Miz beatdown of Rey Mysterio, which was nice.
Who doesn't love that? Yes.
You know, I mean, we also had Beth Phoenix getting. Who did she beat up? She beat up Eve Torres, right?
Yes.
She beat up Eve Torres. And then Kelly got a minor, bit of revenge. Cena beating up Jack Swagger, decent match.
Echo.
CM Punk beating Alberto Del Rio clean, which was I was very interested in seeing.
Echo.
Yeah, I hear the echo.
I don't hear it.
And awkward silence.
Yeah.
That's all right.
But it was good. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, they built to this pay-per-view really, really, really well.
Or at least they did on the Raw side.
Yes.
while there's been decent build-up for Sheamus Mark Henry, and we've had the sudden addition, I believe, of Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan.
That has been, yep.
What the hell are they doing to Christian? Or shall I just, let me just put it this way. I wish I had the soundbite for it. Stephen Colbert one, write this down, Jim. I called it.
Will do.
I called it. Crybaby Christian is in full force. It just irritates the daylights out of me that they aren't ruining his character. And they've played up Orton's anger management issues and how he could snap at any time, as I have the image in my head of him jumping out of the ring and into the crowd and beating up all the little Jimmies, and he's the face.
I want to say something now, and I think I need to say it. I understand why. I can't buy Randy Orton as a face. To me, he should always be a heel.
Agreed. I'm with you there 100%. It never felt organic to me. He was doing the exact same things to different people, if you can understand what I mean.
No, mm-hmm. it's the fact that just because he's only doing it to heels now, it doesn't matter. He's still a sadistic bastard. He's still got that creepy, he still talks in a creepy monotone like he's desperately trying to remember his script.
Yeah.
Right.
He attacks people after matches, whether they need it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes zero sense to me. Christian has, up till this week, had legitimate beef over where he should be and should be as champion. The lawyer's thing with the no DQ clause, I was okay with that. Really, I was. But tonight, it just facepalm.
No. But what really bothered me about this, and I did watch the opening segment before I had to get switched to an awful, awful show on ABC called Karaoke Battle USA.
Right.
But I saw it, and then When Christian said it, I called, "Why are you doing this?" And I'm doing it in the exact voice. "Why are you doing this to me? You don't like me. Why are you doing this to me? Why?" And it was whining. It was whining. It was like a 3-year-old. You know?
Do any of you guys watch the web show Atop the Fourth Wall on thatguywiththeglasses.com?
I do not.
I have not seen it.
Okay. Well, they did this bit one time called Superman. The guy who reviewed it, his name is Linkari, funny, funny guy. He was reviewing Superman at Earth's End, and he was talking as Superman, where they had written him in the comic to be just this whining boy. The voice that he used was Linkari's voice going, "I don't like this Earth." So, I mean, look, if that is your serious voice, you need to try something else.
Mm-hmm.
No. What happened was that Christian went from being the strong guy threatening lawsuit, okay,
mm-hmm.
in one promo to being a whiny baby. He flipped the script, and it was just like, what are you, nuts? With Jay Rezzo, what are you doing?
And all that was missing from this promo was him thrashing on the mat like he used to do when he was throwing tantrums 10 years ago.
Yeah, with Diamond Dallas Page.
Right. This is the character that I said as soon as they turned him heel. This is what he was going to become. How anybody can still watch this feud is beyond me.
It's why, in my opinion and the opinion of many, the feud dies Sunday, ultimately, as seemingly Blandy Borden will be, you know, back on top, as he often is, the blue chip stock of SmackDown. I hope you're right.
No. Hold on a second. Nikki, you posted something very interesting, I believe, earlier this week.
Okay.
About what you were talking about going through your DVRs and what could have been.
Yes. Okay. This past weekend, I was going back through my DVR, and this was the show with the number one contendership match between Christian and Del Rio. There was a promo backstage with Edge and Christian. You could see the seeds being planted for a Christian turn. This would have been 100% more organic. But in the words of TV Tropes, real life wrote the plot.
Yes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, real life writing the plot means that we're stuck with this. Because if Edge was healthier, we would have two top feuds going into SummerSlam, not one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We will talk about this Sunday, but as of Friday night at about 11:20, how many official matches do we have at this
point?
Five.
Okay. Five.
Number five.
Okay, background stuff. Brian, I'm told the echo's coming from you.
It is.
Jim, I think your air is actually starting to get into your microphone.
Oh, no problem.
Cut it off.
Is that better now?
I think so.
Thank you, world famous producer. I can still hear it.
Brian, I think you may have to call in again, potentially.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and call back in, okay?
All right.
All right, sounds good. And the air is officially off.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. No problem.
I didn't mean to bring you.
The powers to be. No. It's all good. We're trying to run a professional ship here. Trying. Yeah.
So, to step aside to some happier stuff, the fact that a lot of the guys have been bouncing around doing promotional work. As we go into SummerSlam week, last Friday night, shortly after our broadcast ended, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, I mean Triple H, made an appearance on Jimmy Fallon. And did either of you guys see it?
Unfortunately, I did not.
I'm not a Fallon fan. I was too busy watching Greg Ferguson in France.
Okay, and Brian's back.
How's
Brian,
that?
I think we've got it fixed.
I hope.
Cool.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm not hearing an echo. So, Brian, I'm going to ask you, did you catch Triple H on Jimmy Fallon last Friday night?
I didn't. The only late-night talk show I currently watch is Monsieur Ferguson.
Okay. So, I'm the only one who saw it, so I can't really get a second opinion on this. Personally, though, Jimmy Fallon does not know jack shit about wrestling. Number one.
Let me correct that statement. Jimmy Fallon does not know jack shit about anything. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
You're probably right. You are probably right.
Yeah, see, Jimmy Fallon, I liked him on SNL, but the thing about Jimmy Fallon is I think he's trying way too hard to be the hip, cool guy who's obsessed with pop culture.
Well, he was all over the board asking. He was all over the dartboard asking Hunter questions, and I really think it was irritating Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it irritated him because Jimmy jumped back and forth from your new position, talking about Stephanie, talking about Mania. They didn't even get a chance to talk about SummerSlam. I think the only thing Hunter appreciated of this interview was that Fallon's band actually played Motorhead's "Bow Down to the King."
I would not expect anything less from the Roots crew.
So
he has a fun group. I mean, the thing about his band is that they have a guy who plays the tuba in that band. That just sounds weird for
Opus?
Some reason.
Opus?
No.
Thank you for getting that.
God, Bloom County, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Heavy metal? Weighty brass. Come on.
Wow. Okay.
There we go.
Okay, you guys can Dennis Miller. I can Dennis Miller. So
cha-cha. No, that's fine. Works for me.
Hey,
okay,
talking about Dennis Miller, do you want me to start calling Triple H the show?
No.
No. Okay. But there was someone else who you said did a pretty funky appearance this week.
When we had, yes, we had a Clash of the Gingers on Conan O'Brien.
Fella.
Actually, it was actually really amusing because Sheamus and Conan spent most of the interview taking pot shots at each other. Conan called Sheamus out for making fun of him after King of the Ring. Sheamus was making fun of Conan for having a bad comb over. They went back and forth and back and forth, and Conan started asking him about the brogue kick. And Sheamus said, yeah, I'll be happy to show you. And Conan says, I'm not stupid. I brought in a stunt double and brings out a mannequin, which Sheamus pointed out had the same exact comb over. And what's that?
I said, I'll fight him.
Oh, he fought him all right. Mm. Took the fella's head clean off.
Oh, damn.
Poor fella.
It was pretty. And with Conan on the side, trying to entice him, Sheamus turned around and said, no, there's nothing you can say that it pissed me off, although there was a potato joke somewhere, and he turned around and broke-kicked the crap out of the mannequin.
And in the end, I'm sure, off-camera, they made amends and rejoiced over Lopez tonight being canceled. So.
That was mentioned in the chat room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, which, by the way, was a very good place for the WWE to get exposure.
It was with the karaoke week they did.
Didn't Jericho do some sort of karaoke battle with David Arquette, which was totally...
Oh, it was epic.
Duphosity. Mm-hmm. It was huge duphosity right there.
Oh, it was epic duphosity. It ranks right up there with Jericho's Thor impersonation at Attack of the Show.
Oh, my God, Emo Thor. Okay. Drunk Emo Thor. Oh, my God.
Drunk Emo Thor who walked off the set of Monty Python.
Yeah. Wasn't that a character on Howard Stern a few years ago?
No.
I mean,
don't know, but when Jericho did it when the movie came out, I literally, oh, God, it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, they are doing the media promo blitz for it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
NBC's got this, the WrestleMania special.
Right,
tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night, which comes out, which also I believe is being preempted in the New York area because we've got preseason football. That will be Sunday at 1 here on the East Coast for the New York area, but they got the, what is it, it's called the WrestleMania, NBC WrestleMania special, and then you got SummerSlam Sunday night.
Right.
So
they're doing what they can, yeah.
And for anybody who is going to be hanging around before the pay-per-view, please, don't hesitate to drop by as I, along with a handful of the usual suspects from the North American Wrestling Connection, will be doing our first pre-pay-per-view special. If you're looking for pick-ems, they're not here. They're going to be Sunday night. I believe it would be 6:30 Eastern.
Mm-hmm. 3:30 Pacific, 5:30 Central. Yep.
5:30 Central.
And 4:30 Mountain and 3:30 Pacific. Yes.
Yep.
And where we will do all of our pick-ems, we will discuss the matches, any news that happens over the weekend, and you'll still have time to order your pizza.
And you'll still have a chance. Yeah. We're not putting Scott Stanford and Jack Corpola out of work. You'll be able to watch them. We'll take you up to the pre-show, if you will.
Stanford's a broski. I wouldn't do anything to harm him.
No,
of course.
Let's see. What have I got? Oh yes, for the speaking of announcers, for those that are actually attending SummerSlam in person, for the low price of an extra $15, you can purchase a small FM radio that you'll be able to sit in the stand so that you can listen to Michael Cole.
Vintage. Well, have they decided officially who the announce team is going to be?
I haven't heard, but I thought it was just going to be essentially a separate feed directly from the live announce table.
Michael Cole, shut up!
Exactly. No, but I have to figure JR is going to be a part of the equation considering they brought him back so far, so.
I'm guessing it'll probably be, oh boy.
Old Booker and JR.
Yeah, really? Is the Waller's going to get the night off?
Because they have to have the SmackDown contingent, but Cole kind of
works
both.
Y'all know what Zach says. If we can't just get along, then let's just get it on.
Yeah.
I would pay a lot of money to watch Booker T slap the taste out of Michael Cole's mouth, though.
Yeah. But,
who
but,
would?
But
oh, yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. They used to do this in the 70s, didn't they? With, like, having radios at Super Bowls and stuff and big events.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I'm just guessing that this is not unusual.
This isn't unusual. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's not revolutionary. It's kind of a throwback. And considering, you know, one of the more modern arenas in the United States, the Staples Center, they have the FM translator already, probably for the Lakers game, so they're just going to make use of it.
And I actually think that, let's see how they do this, you know?
They need the money any way they can get it, per se, considering the buy rates.
Damn it!
May I have your attention, please?
Shut up! No.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my BlackBerry.
Oh! Well, Nikki has, so let's turn to her.
Sorry. And I quote, "You would have to pay me $15 to listen to Michael Cole if I was sitting in the stands at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to keep the money when I turn the radio back in afterwards."
There you go.
Sorry.
But you do need to take a moment to sit back, relax, and chill. Oh yes, that's true. We are at the halfway point of the show. Let me see if I can find our right thing. Here we are. As you all know, this is the North American Wrestling Connection on CLW83 Network, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat.
I have to hit you again.
On the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Can you hold a conversation for more than 5 minutes? Have something interesting to say? Are you susceptible to hepatitis? Then we have something for you. We're looking for guests to be on the CLW 83 Night Shift in the fall. Email us at clw83nightshift@gmail.com for details.
College football is right around the corner, and the CLW 83 network is rolling the tape on another season of Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com. Join expert handicapper Rob O'Connor and me, Jim Williams, as we preview the college football landscape for 2011. We'll tell you which teams are contenders and which ones are pretenders, and we'll even give out a play or two along the way. All on a very special 90-minute edition of Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com. Live this Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern, on the CLW 83 Network.
Sunday night. The lights are bright. But the city of Los Angeles will be even brighter as the superstars of the WWE compete at SummerSlam. And before the pay-per-view, join Nikki Haman and the rest of the North American Wrestling Connection crew for all the latest news and views leading up to the biggest night of the summer, the NAWC SummerSlam Special, presented by WrestleChat.net, live Sunday night, 6:30 Eastern, on the CLW 83 Network.
Hi, this is Steve Bryant. You might remember me from QVC, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Please tell me you remember me from QVC.
Help me, Mr. Popeil!
And we're back. Now, unfortunately, this week's wrestling news is not all champagne, roses, and gunplay. We unfortunately had some very sad news coming in, and it's kind of politically related. I really don't want to go into the political details of the horrendous riots that are going on in London, and our thoughts and prayers go out to those affected, because the wrestling world in general has been affected, as some of the torchings went to the warehouses of Silver Vision and Sony, where the European libraries for WWE and TNA were stored. It's my understanding that they're doing their best to recover what they can, but I'm hoping that not a whole lot of that stuff got lost.
Well, what happened was, I believe that the Sony warehouse, which in England, which was the distribution point for the WWE and the TNA DVDs, got burned in one of the riots, which I think are going now on for their seventh day now or something like that.
I think they've arrested like 1,700 people.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just trying to recoup some of the stock and try and reproduce quickly as many as they can to produce, you know, to get their orders done. So, you know, just unbelievable.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Silver Vision was able to release WWE content, older WWE/WWF content, uncensored.
Yes, they have a separate distribution deal than we have in America. So they're actually able to, the initials WWF, and they're able to use the old Scratch logo. So people actually say that if you're able to get a Silver Vision DVD and you have a PAL player, it's superior to ours.
Well, it's superior in the fact that you don't have to listen to bleeped out commentary and see blurry stuff on your screen. Hey, I bet they even let Chris Benoit stay in their videos, too.
Ooh.
Ouch! Truth. The truth shall set you free, yes.
Conspiracy. You know, I want to know how come they only ate hot dog buns, but they ate hot dogs.
I forgot about that. They're 10 to a pack.
Stop wanting me!
It's all a conspiracy!
C-O-N
Spiracy.
Am I the only one who is just loving crazy R-Truth?
R-Truth, by the way, one of the best career moves he's done was this.
And here I didn't think he could. I didn't think he could play a heel, but oh my good, oh my God! You know, Perry Saturn's going. You're welcome.
Pretty much.
Oh, and by the way, just as another sort of news item regarding that, as you saw, R-Truth beat John Morrison this week.
Yes.
And that may be due to the fact of what happened this past weekend.
I didn't even have that on my list. Thank you.
I completely forgot about this, but you just Brian reminded me of the eight packs of guns and with the two stuff set you free. Now, as you know, Melina got her Future Endeavor papers and didn't take it too well, from what I was told.
Oh,
and but the thing, but the real big etiquette faux pas was that John Morrison took Melina along to the house shows after she was fired.
Which wouldn't have been horrible, except then she tried to get into the venue at Raw on Monday.
Yeah.
And the Jimmy Squad was told she was not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, in the case of the house shows, I could almost forgive it because it's a non-televised event and it's a little bit of a looser atmosphere. But yeah, you just lost your job. You don't show up at the company the next day, no matter how amicable or not the release was.
Exactly.
As somebody who's never been fired from a job, seriously, I have never been fired from a job. But when I left, you know, I didn't go straight back the next day unless I forgot something.
Exactly. It's just common knowledge, and plus you only provoke those who are, you know, who you may have had hostility with. It only just feeds to the fire, and that could completely demoralize work morale that's in place. Just a boneheaded move. Just an absolute boneheaded move.
Yeah, and that is rumored to be sort of the last straw in the John Morrison experiment.
Yeah.
The WWE.
And that's just bad because he's a great worker.
He's a great worker, but apparently you can have the look and you can have the ability, but if you don't have the correct attitude, that can cost you. And I am very worried. Morrison's contract's coming up in the next few months. He might just bide his time and walk. I don't see him quitting.
This is a case study where somebody who doesn't have the proper street smarts is going to get killed in terms of their career.
Yeah.
This is exactly what that is.
One another thing, and look, I love Morrison. I think he's a phenomenal in-ring competitor. I think he's got amazing charisma. But it's true for any job. You have to know how to mind your P's and clues. P's and Q's.
No, I liked P's and clues. That's pretty much, you know, they've been giving John Morrison some pretty obvious clues that he's gotta stop focusing on Melina, which for some guys it's hard.
Yes.
And
some
focus.
People think with the different kind of head, yes.
Yeah. He needs to start thinking about his personal future. There was an excellent comic that ended up posted on the fan boards showing John Morrison climbing a ladder, and they show a cuff attached to a long heavy chain attached to an anchor which is dug into the roof of Melina's car.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
So, Jomo, I know you don't listen to the show. I wish you did. But, dude, you could really be something in this business. And if it's meant to be with you and Melina, it'll happen. Just get back in the ring, man. Please.
Yeah.
Get your head back. Get your head back into this, because at this point, I, you know, speculation or not, we can see that the Morrison R-Truth match on Monday was essentially a who's getting the push match, and they're more than happy to push Truth.
Oh, no doubt. It's a damn shame, because how many times has Morrison in the last 12 months been in a situation where he could be pushed to the top of the card and compete for a championship at least 3 or 4 times? And he's dropped the ball. He has dropped the ball. No other way to put it.
I know. A huge portion of his matches from last September to just before WrestleMania were getting him lined up for a main event spot.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you call the Morrison Miz no holds barred match before Elimination Chamber one of the best matches of the year?
Yeah, their False Count Anywhere match from the beginning of the year was one of the best matches of the year. Morrison's antics in this year's Rumble and Elimination Chamber were just mind blowing.
They're rock star esque. Paul thought of what it was,
and for what he did, for everything he did in the chamber, and I will contend this to this day. Everything that Morrison had done in the chamber, he should have won that night. Were it mm-hmm. not for whatever, you know, whatever has been going on backstage that is holding him back besides Melina.
Well, you want to know something, Nikki? I'm going to bring up a point here, and I kind of hope this doesn't come off as me sounding like I don't like John. I love John. I think he's a phenomenal entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another problem is, dude works such a weird sort of offense where there's like all that breakdancing stuff and all this other maneuvering that he does in his matches. And add to that the fact that he seems to have a hard time staying healthy. Maybe it's giving the WWE cold feet. You know, maybe they're thinking he's just one, you know, misstep parkour jump away from being paralyzed.
The next thing is recent, though, and any of his other time off has been, the only other time off I can think of is his wellness vacation back in 07.
Yeah, but still, there is that fear that maybe he takes maybe he's too much of a risk taker with his offense. And, you know, the WWE works a lot more dates than the independent circuit. They pay a whole lot more money, but at the same time, they work so many more dates, and the WWE maybe thinks, you know, if he keeps doing this on TV, he'll have to do this at all the house shows. I would be a little concerned that, you know, like I said, he's already had one neck injury. Now, I don't know if that was wrestling-related or not, but it does make me wonder, does the WWE think, you know, do we really want to risk putting the belt on this guy if he's going to do one of those crazy parkour moves and flips over the guardrail, breaks his neck, and he's out for 6 months, or a year, or however.
I partially agree with you with the move set, because this was a limitation that they had with Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
Rob has an awesome move set, but there's only so much he could do against a standard WWE style. Morrison can adapt to that. In fact, since the parkour stuff is fairly new... And you're echoing again, Brian.
Darn it. That was my email. The Yahoo thing came on.
Okay. The parkour stuff is new. The fact that he'd only started using this stuff since last September. So it's just a matter of him and the road agents who help him book his matches try to find a balance and save the really, really cool stuff for pay-per-view, title matches, what have you.
Yes. Yes. And look, you know, I'm not saying that he shouldn't try to... I'm not saying guys shouldn't try to innovate their movesets or try to create something different, because, you know, same thing all over the time. It gets you get tired of it. But I look at John Morrison, and number one, the moves are phenomenal. On the second hand, at times I'm fearing for his safety. See, when they brought in Evan Bourne, back when he was Matt Sydal, he had to really, politic to just be allowed to use the Shooting Star Press. And he had to do it over and over to prove he could do it safely.
Now, that has precedent, though, because Billy Kidman legit hurt Chavo Guerrero, and who knows who else. They just decided,
oh,
in Chavo's case, they turned it into a storyline. That's why the move was taken away, why Kidman couldn't do it anymore, while Paul London couldn't do it anymore. Yeah. And when Sydal came in, I remember seeing him do it all the time at OVW, and it was my understanding that they set up a crash pad and had him do it 6 or 7 times in a row, just for the sake of consistency, before they gave him the green light on it. And I wonder if they did the same thing with Justin Gabriel in the 450.
They did. I remember reading that on I want to say on a another wrestling news website, whose name I cannot mention because we are sponsored not by them.
Well played.
Thank you.
Nicely done. So, just, you're right. Jomo needs to be thinking with the head on his shoulders.
Not the one between his legs.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Yow.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, there went our PG rating. We never had a PG rating.
Come on.
No. Although, speaking of changes in style, changes in general, those of you guys who watched SmackDown tonight, did you notice anything different about Sin Cara?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He was younger.
20 pounds heavier? No?
Yeah, he had a much doughier midsection.
I tell you, some of the substances that, Sin Cara must be, supplemental things he's taking must be, oh, never mind.
No. Yeah. That Sin Cara version dose.
Sin Cara dos point cero.
Yeah, dos punto cero, sí. Porque la luchador no, I was trying to say it in Spanish, but I couldn't. The guy who performed as Sin Cara is no longer with the WWE, rumored to be.
Yeah, Jorge Arias, the man who portrayed him on SmackDown from Developmental.
What do you think, Nick, of him?
Personally, I thought this guy was a lot crisper.
Okay.
He's of a better size to work with other people. Some of the new moves that he threw in there were pretty cool. And I would like to express a huge fail to whoever I was reading that they were building up, that they're thinking that this is a different Sin Cara. I did not get that at all from the announce team tonight.
No, I listened to the match.
No, Michael Cole is a douche. And why Diana Hart needs, even though she's a little bit batshit crazy, was right in calling him out, even though it was not exactly the right way to do it, the fact that he was going, oh, wow, he must have learned some different moves. He was being very sarcastic. Did you hear that?
I didn't think he was being sarcastic. I personally think they were trying to cover it up. This was one of the few times that I could tolerate listening to Michael Cole. Because Booker and Josh were doing a little bit of the same thing. And they weren't sniping at each other. They were actually paying attention to the match.
They were.
Why can't we do that for the whole 2 hours?
Yeah, really, but that would cause them all to get future endeavored because that's what we want to see. Snipe, snipe, snipe. Not really.
No, this is what I want to see.
No,
Michael Cole, shut up!
And stay shut up.
I have the tweets in front of me, some of Ms. Smith's tweets.
Shall I relay them to you, or should we spare the audience?
No.
Let's just spare the audience, because what I read of them were, first of all, you know, they must have been done at the height of passion or frustration, because they were wrought with grammatical and spelling errors.
Yes.
So it would take you a little bit to translate.
Yeah, and then there's the other, the syntax is well, let's just say it sets back the grammar movement about 50 years. Maybe 100.
Well, needless to say, she was calling Michael Cole all the names in the book, and while I support that, I don't support the way she's going about it.
I mean, it comes off like you're, you know, like a 12-year-old kid with serious issues the way you type, the way she was typing it. That's what I'm getting at. So,
and it's to the point that David Hart Smith went on his Facebook and said, "Hey, I didn't tell her to tweet that.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing against the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
So don't even try to put me in the middle of all this."
Exactly. Shame he had to get into that situation to have to do that, but
yeah, I'm sorry, Bulldog Man. I'd rather have you stick around than have to listen to that nonsense.
Exactly.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Diana Hart Smith, she's the crazy member of the Smith family, right?
She's the one who seems to pop up every 3 years with some sort of bitch fest regarding Owen or Brett or the Hart family in general, or tries to sue the WWE again, despite the fact that everything.
That's her. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, she's the one that every news program will bring on when they want to show the horrors of the professional wrestling business.
Her and Mark Nero.
You know, it's weird. When I was a kid, my two favorite wrestlers were the Big Boss Man and Johnny B. Bad. So to see Mark Miro go cuckoo pants like that is slightly disheartening.
Well, granted, if you were saddled with a gimmick where the best part of the match was, ooh, I have a confetti cannon before the match, you would be probably a little ticked too.
Yeah. But
or
no,
that everybody was there to see your wife.
There you go.
Yeah. Although, I was such a big Boss Man fan when I was a kid, my mom actually went to an Army-Navy surplus store and bought me wood nightstick.
Oh, my God.
And I still have it to this day.
Awesome.
Nice. Very nice.
He should be in the Hall of Fame, one fan's opinion.
I alas him not on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
As I have been outed that I was not on the IWA Championship Committee, I am not on the Hall of Fame Committee, and oh, by the way, I am not part of TNA Accounting, so Jimmy Wang Yang, if you're listening, it's not my fault your check from TNA bounced.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And that's sad, because supposedly TNA's in the black.
That's what they keep saying. Uncle Paul used to say that about the old ECW.
Hearing a little echoes here, Brian.
What am I doing wrong?
Don't know, but damn, that's just poor Jimmy. And that's just a $500 check or something, you know?
Yeah, it just, you know, and to the point that, you know, he did the manly thing and tweeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
well, you know, when one of your own workers is bragging on Twitter that he can now get food stamps, maybe it's not a company that would be known for its high wages.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who's
and yet
that?
They'll pay Jenna Maraska $20,000 per
Jesse
appearance.
Neal. I believe it was Jesse Neal that was getting the food stamps.
Yes, it was Jesse Neal.
Are you serious? No joke?
We joked about that a couple of months back.
Not joked, but talked about, yeah.
Wow.
So, I would believe it if they'd be happy to open their books for me, but Russo doesn't open his books, so I'm sure neither will Dixie.
Yeah.
By the way...
one would argue Dixie opens a few other things, but we're not going there.
Mostly lies. anyway.
But wow.
So I think that's pretty much going to do it for our show. I know we had a few other things that we could talk about, but I don't trust my timer over here because it's about 30 seconds off.
Okay.
Right.
So, gentlemen, I'm glad that you were all here for the show tonight, and don't forget about our Sunday Pick'em show, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central. Please drop in at least on the chat room because Stat Boy will take everybody's pick'ems. Yes, I'm volunteering him for that.
with a folding chair to the back of the head. There you go.
Yes. When Nikki says do something, when Nikki says jump, you say how high.
Yeah.
And when she says limbo, you say how low.
That's it.
And when she says can races, you say doo-da.
There
what?
You go. Well played. And welcome to Archives.
No, we fell into Archive halfway through Jason's comment.
Just officially welcoming you to the After Hours segment, yes.
Yes. So, welcome to the NAWC After Dark.
Oh, God.
No. We're not.
But.
We're not going to see Rita Mero, doing her thing and getting her gear off. That's not what we do with After Dark. No.
No, and I'm not going to.
Thank you. Your boyfriend will kick all our asses. Thank you.
No. Bear's not going to come after anybody for this. And
okay.
And on top of that, I'm not going to talk about Terry Runnels or Brooke Hogan. So there.
Yeah.
Oh, so no new Jack references. Oh,
nope. No, but I actually think the most interesting news, the other most interesting news that happened this week was that a political consultant in Connecticut reported to the Greenwich Times this week that he's been hired by Linda McMahon, which is saying she's going to run again in 2012.
Yeah, I think the actual term he used was, they are 99.9% sure that she's going to run again.
So, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy what you're hearing. You know, all the shoots and all the 11 o'clock onward profanities, because very soon they will be gone. They will be a memory. they will be erased from the record books. But then again, you know what's going to happen when the campaign starts up. Her challenger will once again go to Old Reliable. That stock video of Linda McMahon kicking JR in the nuts.
What was that? All I got was static.
What?
I'm serious. All I got was static.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but as you announced that, it went...
Well, Jason got me, so I guess he heard it.
Apparently, my computer bleeped you.
Oh, well, bleep. Oh. Wow.
Well, you know something, and I'm being serious about this.
Mm-hmm.
Above all else, the WWE is out to make money.
Right, that they're like any other business, sure.
So right now, they've got to realize that what's happening right now is making money. So I honestly believe, Linda McMahon no longer has any position in the WWE.
Except for the name.
Yeah, well, except for the name.
Although she might be able to get around that now that Vince is off TV and we're just dealing with the evil boss, Dr. Levesque.
Yeah. Because that's a good point, too. What it comes down to, though, ultimately, is guilt by association. She is, for better or for worse, associated with the company. And that is going to ultimately be the deciding factor in the election, I think. I'm not trying to play Democrat know-it-all or Republican know-it-all, a lot of people are just going to, put you this way, she's not going to have a Jesse Ventura-like success. I cannot see that happening. She's incredibly bright, except when she's on Greta Van Susteren, but I just don't see it working out. And hopefully, if she ends up losing this time, it'll be the little kick in the butt she needs. Political office isn't for you. You made it.
You know what? Jim, I'm going to totally disagree here, and I'll tell you why.
Because you're a Republican.
Well, that's true.
Well, I'm a Republican too.
I'll explain to you why. Because here's the difference. Okay. Blumenthal ran in 2010, if I'm not mistaken, last year, and won by 10 points. Linda did not run the greatest campaign, okay?
Well, it was her first time out the box, too, so yeah.
Right. But now she's got experience under the belt. Connecticut's economy is still in the shitter, okay? Mm-hmm. And you really got an anti-incumbent field here, and she's running an open seat, okay? Open seat. Remember?
So she's not going up against
She wouldn't run against Lieberman, for example. Lieberman would kick her ass. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not a fan of his, but I understand where he is in politics. She could
place a role.
Yeah, place a role. And the thing is that she could have beaten. I think she could have beaten Chris Dodd. The fact is that I think she's got a better chance of beating a Democrat this time around. Just my thought, you know, and maybe she may have learned from the mistakes of last time. Who knows?
Right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm not wishing her ill will. I hope for the best for her. If it works out for her, great. Yeah. But what
now,
I guess doesn't the fun is wrestling fans, screw it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I just find it amusing that their competition, when they do decide to dig up footage, they always pull up Attitude Era stuff.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know, I realize that, you know, Joe Nobody is going to say, oh, that's what's going on in wrestling. Well, yeah, if you're talking 15 years ago.
Hmm.
Is it now 15, almost?
Well, let's see.
Almost.
13, we're at 13 right now.
13 bordering on 14, if you want to be technical, yeah.
Wow.
Where did the time go?
Because the Attitude launched in late 97, early 98.
Right. I kind of put the line of demarcation that first Hell in a Cell match. That's just me.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I wasn't watching at the time, so I couldn't even tell. I couldn't really put a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really give you a moment that it started. I just knew it was in full swing, that every time I turned on, if I was flipping channels and I caught WWF. Yeah. Well, every time I hit WWF programming, I either saw a half-naked chick or Rikishi's ass, and that's why I didn't stay.
The two are not mutually exclusive, by the way, folks, if you're just tuning in.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I kind of noticed the Attitude Era happened.
I'll be back in a second, okay?
Go ahead.
Right. I think I ran him off.
No, he'll be back.
No. I'm joking. But I was flipping channels, and I was one time I came across an ECW pay-per-view, and Joel Gertner was doing one of his legendary introductions.
Yes.
And at one point, the one he did was, "I'm Joel, I'm young, hung,
I'm
healed
with
my
tongue,
with
my tongue,
Gertner. By the way, I saw him at Hardcore Justice back when they did the infamous Hardcore Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Man, has he put on some weight.
Oh, he's put it all back on?
Hmm. Because he did get quite paltry towards the end. I mean,
well, he was pretty heavy set when we saw him at the first One Night Stand.
Right. But he had lost a bit when it came time for one of the ECW Arena reunion shows. I think he lost quite a bit.
I think it was November Rain.
Yeah.
When he was actually walking around in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was at ONS2. And he was in civvies, and hardly anybody recognized him because he had lost so much weight. Somebody had to point him out to me.
Mm. No neck brace to help you.
Well, that too. But again, he had lost so much weight.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked briefly. He's like, just don't speak up about it. And we grabbed a quick picture, and I was on my way. Okay. But it was just, you know, amazing, because I remember when he went traipsing through the balcony at One Night Stand.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
give me a job. I could be an announcer. I could get you coffee.
Yeah. Doofus.
I will do anything to be gainfully employed to Eric Bischoff.
Yes.
But by the way...
How many people have said that over the years and have wished they didn't say that?
Yeah. Several. But, you know, the thing about him that I'll always love is I think only Iron Mike Sharp has sold an injury longer than Joel Gertner.
Well, I would say Bob Orton might have something to say with you about that.
I was going to say, when Cowboy Bob says hi.
But the Iron Mike Sharp, he was always wearing that brace over his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they said they used to call him Canada's greatest athlete. I have this image in my mind of Wayne Gretzky sitting at home looking at the TV going, liar!
I'm back.
Gordie Howe going, because he's old.
Well, no, Gordie Howe, see ya. Let him dream.
Yeah, it was a Molson. Anyway.
Mr.
Yeah.
Hockey, they used to call him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So should we cover everything we needed, you think?
I think we've covered everything that I really wanted to cover. I didn't, you know, granted we didn't go into the goofy Miz lip sync video.
Oh, God, don't get me... I watched that, and officially the kid, no disrespect to the kid, he's jumped the shark. Listen, if you're going to have a lip sync battle, just word of thought from a guy who has one video that has several hundred thousand views. If you're going to do a lip sync, know the damn words to the song. He didn't know the damn words to the Miz's theme. It's not hard. Print them out online. At least he wasn't even going through the motions. Yeah, I'm picky. What do you want?
No, you're fine. I haven't watched it. As you guys know, I'm not a huge Miz fan. I respect where he is in the business, but
I haven't even heard of this video. So you're talking great.
Search for the Miz and Keenan Cahill, K E E N A N. I believe it's C A H I L L. And you'll see him and the Miz and this kid together.
John Morrison's in there too a little bit.
John Morrison makes the save per se and beats up the Miz. And talk about botches. The one point towards the middle of the video, okay, obviously Morrison really didn't hurt Miz, but you know he motions like he kicks him square in the nuts. To which you see the Miz point out one finger, saying one more please, and he does it again.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the hell? And then the kid gets the belt and just, you know, ma, 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 with his mouth. So there you go.
That kid did
something with the Philadelphia Eagles here last week at the alt station, hip-hop station, Q102 here. So he's getting around. Whoop-de-doo.
I'm going to make a very obscure reference that I think Jim is the only one who's going to get.
Try me.
Sort of video like that makes one pine for the days of Eric Mokrachek and his Match Game Hollywood Squares album lyrics.
Oh, Jason would get that too, I think.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
I don't get it. I don't think I want to.
No.
No, you don't, Nikki.
One other
really.
Thing. I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Okay.
Bold prediction. Well, not really bold. You will see new merchandise being offered from John Cena this coming Sunday. Here's the bold prediction. The shirt will be blue. Just saying.
Where did you hear this from?
Well, let's think about this. How often do you see new merch? No, this is just a prediction. I'm not hearing it from anybody. I'm just going based on how often does he change his merchandise? Twice a year. Once at WrestleMania, once at SummerSlam. And I'm just guessing it's going to be blue. I was wavering between blue and yellow. Because yellow with the LA Lakers cheap pop purple he had last year,
mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing blue. And let it be said, if I'm right, then I win the pool.
I wouldn't doubt it, but you see, well, I'm gonna keep what I'm saying quiet. And well, since it's not gonna be for the special, anyways, I'm not gonna be there. Might save it for his heel turn, but who knows?
Here's something I was noticing, talking about the different colors he's used. Let's see. He's had he's had green,
John
purple,
Deere,
blue,
blue,
orange. Yeah, he had Denver Bronco orange. As far as, you know, primary colors, he's got to go through their blue or yellow. So I think it's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, exactly.
I just went looking. I was looking for another thread, but Miz just got a new shirt,
which is awesome.
That's what it says on the front, and the M is replaced with the inverted WWE logo,
which I still think is tacky.
Yes,
no.
On the back it has the Miz with the it says the Miz, and underneath it says you are not.
Oh, okay. Let me take a look at this, because I thought the Miz 40 didn't do very well then.
I'm surprised that jersey didn't do well, because I thought it was pretty cool.
I wouldn't
purchase it myself, but...
Why did he use a number 40?
I honestly don't remember. I know they did talk about it.
Well, wait a minute. If we're going to talk about WWEshop.com, and they're in the shameless plug, you're not talking about the biggest selling item this week. Are you serious, bro?
The Broski headband!
Which is already sold out.
Bastards. Oh, sorry.
Excellent.
Yes, I wanted one. Kill me.
Hey, more power to you.
Exactly. Buy the headband, bro.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I gotta find what I was going to be talking about here. Just give me a second. Because there was a very... Oh, did it get taken down? It must have. The fan boards were talking about, and I think it got deleted. Yeah, it did. Somebody, just for a grin, typed in WWEshop.org.
Oh, I can do this.
And they've got a Russian
WWEUA.com. It's a Russian version. Delivery to USA, yes.
But yeah, you can do custom crap on it. They have alternate colors of T-shirts, including a red, white, and blue version of CM Punk's Best in the World shirt.
Hmm.
In the same color scheme as Cena's current gear.
Oh my God, that's epic.
So God help us if we got a two-man power trip out of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
All I have to say is,
you want me to send you the actual link to show it to you?
Oh, I have it up, yeah. Delivery to USA, yes.
And there's a lot of stuff. The site, I've perused the site, and this is a place where you can find shirts. You can find shirts for people that, you know, otherwise don't have shirts, or they even had, I don't know if you remember this, but early in the Nexus run, Santino got in one of their faces and said he was going to do a shirt that says, you're either Santino or you're just so-so. That shirt's on there.
Speaking of Santino Marella, he may have the most useless bit of merch. He now has a Cobra sock puppet that you can buy.
You can buy that?
I think they're trying to start, I think they're marketing it now.
Ooh, if it's for sale, I would buy that before I'd buy the Broski headband. No offense, guys.
Okay. Somewhere Mick Foley's like, damn it, where were you bastards when I needed you?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can buy it.
I hope this isn't like a virus site.
I hope not either, but some of these items are like, huh? The Sponge Hulk t-shirt. What?
Yes.
The hat.
Oh my God, you can buy a Cobra sock puppet for $11.99. That's hilarious.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, yeah, the site, the Ukrainian site, that site popped up on the fan boards, and everybody was just geeking out at all the goofy t-shirts you could find on there, and you could build stuff.
Oh my God.
Because if you look on the left-hand side there's a TNA logo. You can make a shirt with TNA and WWE stuff on it.
Mm. You were saying, Jason, what was that?
I was saying, so far my virus doesn't look like it's, like, really popping off, so... I mean,
oh,
I have Norton Internet Security 11, so hopefully when I reboot, I won't be seeing things like,
like,
I take
like
no responsibility for any viruses that you guys get, because I have...
LW83 cares.
We do. But to be honest, you know, I don't think there's anything to be taken from that site, or, you know, unfortunately the thread, as I said, the fan board thread is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That's,
I bookmarked it because it was just, the site is epic. I wouldn't order anything from it, but wow.
And plus we have to, what's the conversion rate? What's the frequency, Kenneth? Yeah. So... Wow. I'm still... Hold on, I gotta see the sock bubble.
It's there, and I'm blown away.
How much is it?
$11.99.
God, worth every penny. Oh, my God.
That is awesome.
That is... Oh, my God.
I gotta get a look at this Kung Fu t-shirt they made for him, too.
Here, the Cobra.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to say this. If there was ever anybody in WWE history who on paper never deserved to draw a dime, and yet they've drawn a whole buttload of cash, at Santino Marella, because he is so good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You stole that line from Styles on the BWO. Good for you.
Well, it's the truth.
Well, yeah, it is. Oh, my God, there it is. Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I mean, Cena blew, you know, could be thing, but we'll see. By the way, just again, Nikki, good luck on the special on Sunday. I wish you all the best for that.
Thank you.
I'll be in the chat room for it. Definitely should be a lot of fun. Listen, people, listen.
Yes,
and
exactly. One more time before we go. 6:30 Sunday. 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central, 3:30 on the West Coast. Be there. Biggest event of the summer with the seriously most kick-ass promo. By the way, Jim, you need a job, okay?
Thank you.
Need a job.
Thank you.
And
that's also a compliment and an insult all at once. Thank you. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I know.
And, you know, let me just say this. You know, you did something like that for me for a project I'm working on. The fact that you don't have a big-time job in the world of radio or entertainment, and yet David Lee Roth has a job.
No, Michael Cole has a job.
Thank
you. I'll do you one better if you're talking radio. Danny Bonafrickin-Ducci.
Bingo.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'd say Mark Madden, but I hear at least he asks intelligent questions.
I can't stand Mark Madden. I could.
I can't either. I can't either. I understood. I understand that he had. I think it was Punk on his show. And
right. The
interview, I would like a transcript of it because I refuse to listen to a nanosecond of Mark Madden doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Not even that.
Because
Mark Madden killing? Yeah, that's right. Good point.
No. I just, it's to the point that somebody I used to talk to in Hawaii, we made the joke that if the shirtless Mark Madden video got out from WCW, if that actually got out, it would crash the entire internet.
Oh, God.
It would give people 12... You would see several thousand simultaneous heart attacks being given.
And if you compare that with the epic jockstrap Mean Gene match with him, oh, God.
All right, on that note, I'm out of here, fellas.
Yeah,
I think we milked this one for all we can.
Thank you, guys.
Brain bleach, indeed. I will go find. I've got some on the shelf. I'm going to go take care of that. But, gentlemen, if you can make it, please jump into the chat room on Sunday. Your pick'ems will be counted.
Very quickly, thanks to Brett for the plug on his website today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruce. Yes, Sunday, 6:30. One more time. Guys, made as much time as we need to. For those who need it, it's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be me, Chief High Muckamuck, Carl Chenier, Stat Boy Josh Henniger, and current Fizzleweight champion Ethan Muslin.
Oh, boy.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, Muslin.
Muslin.
Him too.
Yeah, like the fabric.
There you go.
Ouch. Him too.
I'm out, guys. Talk to you later.
Till Sunday. Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I apologize for my delay. Be here Sunday or be somewhere else.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.